said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay. I'm gonna give you 30 days to get back home. I done called up a gypsy woman on a telephone. I'm gonna send out a worldwide hoodoo. That'll be the very thing that'll suit you. I'm gonna see that you be back home in 30 days. For 30 days. Oh, 30 days.
All right, it is that time of the week again. This is Sportsaholics episode number 130. I'm going to have you hit that whistle. Hit that whistle.
Oh, here we go. 130.
That is the, unfortunately now, it's the back-to-back Yordano. Last week wasn't Yordano Ventura, but this week is, as number 30, Yordano Ventura. Fortunately passed away, what is about 2 weeks ago, probably.
Oh,
maybe longer.
Terrible
as you're listening
story.
To this. But, you know, still rebuilding in Kansas City. It was great to see Eric Hosmer, Moustakas, Salvi, Ned Yost, actually down in the Dominican Republic for the funeral, spending time with the family. And, you know, there was this weird thing that you don't really think about when players die prematurely, but the player's contract was up in the air. So it was a $20 million contract that he had had, which is now void, as the way I understand it, because there was alcohol in the system, so it voids the contract.
Oh, God.
But the family did have... It was like a one point something. And, you know, so they will be getting some money. And then knowing that Royals family, whether I can't necessarily say it's going to come from the, you know, the upper, you know, management and, you know, people.
Don't promise anything. Don't say it.
People up in the brass.
Something nice, but doesn't necessarily true.
But the players will. Like Salvi and those guys. Like those guys will make sure that his family and his wife and daughter. Yeah, you know, that's just how they do it. I mean, just to see Danny Duffy, Christian Colon. At the stadium the day of the event, and as we did last week, you know, I did a little montage with some of the local sports, national sports coverage. Yes. Some of the audio edited in there. You can go back and check that out. It's the very beginning of last week's episode. But, you know, to see Duffy and Colon there, one, they were in Kansas City. Sure. On December or on January, you know, whatever. Yes. For some reason. And they're up there, and they're comforting fans, hugging fans. Fans are hugging them. Tears are being shed.
Sure.
You know, later on that night, Christian Colon came back, you know, with some of his family members, and just got really emotional. And it just kind of, as much of a bad rap as Yordano Ventura would get for all the beanballs and the fights, you know, he's an undersized young pitcher who is just, that's the only way, that's how he grew up. Like,
right.
Just standing up to people, like, physically, just to let them know that he wasn't scared. Could he have taken a beating from Adam Eaton? Absolutely.
Sure.
But he wasn't scared to take that beating. He knew he would get in a few shots first if he meant to.
And there's stuff that happens inside the lines that aren't taken outside the lines. And it's one of those things that outside the lines are like, hey, he's a good guy, or he's a good guy to have around. He's a guy you want on your side. It's like he's also one of those players that, you know, if you're going against him, you might hate him. But if he's on your team, it's like, hey, you know what? I always loved Danny Ainge. And then he went to the Portland Trailblazers, and they went to the finals. And I went, boy, I really see what all people who hated Danny Ange are really complaining about.
So,
and
yeah,
then with the Phoenix Suns, it's like, you know, he's a little...
Well, it was good to find out, like, with the Manny Machado incident, which was one of his more... there was the Mike Trout incident that I actually witnessed in Anaheim 2 years ago.
Yep.
And which, again, it's Mike Trout. So he went at Mike Trout, which
right.
is one of the biggest guys, you know, in the business. But the Manny Machado incident, apparently Manny Machado had called him a pussy, like, previously.
Sure.
And the previous inning, and he was like, you know, okay.
I'll show you.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me show you my labia here.
So he just wasn't backing down. So episode number 130, number 30, rest in peace, Yordano Ventura, and God, I don't know where the Royals are going to find 15 more wins in their pitching staff to replace that dude. But we'll get into that at a later time. But this week's episode is awesome. We're going to talk a little bit of hockey. We're going to introduce comedian Joe Bartnick, very, very funny comic. Tours with, if you've seen Bill Burr on the road, you may have seen Joe. He opens up for Bill and headlines all over the country by
himself.
And they
went to the hockey All-Star game.
That's right. Yeah.
And here was here in Los Angeles.
And so,
and I guess the living, the 100 great is the 100 year anniversary of hockey. We're going to talk about that. I guess some of the greatest players who are still living were assembled on the ice. We're going to talk about why they call it the corner, working the puck out of the corner. And there are no corners on a hockey rink.
And, you know, his podcast is called Puck Off. It's, I didn't realize this, but co-hosted by Frazier Smith. Very, very funny, long time.
Hey, Frazier.
Legend.
These are the jokes, folks. These are the jokes.
Johnny, how about those Royals? Huh? Huh? Looking good.
That's right.
Wow. Eric Marino, good to see you. How about those Red Sox, huh?
That's right.
Ooh, that David Ortiz is something else.
That's right.
That's a typical Frazier Smith intro if you see him.
Absolutely. Immediate, love Frazier.
Immediately going to compliment your greatest sports town or your greatest town sporting current
account. And I'd be like, Frazier, I'm going to the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right.
That's right. Congratulations.
I know you're a Lions fan, Frazier. But anyway.
Go into that a little bit. And then what was the other thing I wanted to I wanted to talk about. I pulled an interview. We're going to just a couple audio clips from from Spanos. It's his son, who's like one of the executives. And he's kind of like,
we're going to talk some San Diego, no longer San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know,
nomadic Chargers.
I'll just go ahead. I just want to play this. I'll play it now. It's just a short clip, but he's just kind of short answers. He beats around the bush, but you can just tell the guy's like kind of a dick. Like they were just like, where do you need to improve? And he's like, what do you want? Why don't I just bring you in here and show you the draft board? And then, you know, and then,
yeah, why don't you?
Just let everybody, and then, yeah, and that's, you know, it was Rogan, or not Rogan. What's the local LA guy?
Jim
Rogan? Seth Rogan.
Oh, Seth Rogan. Yeah.
Isn't that, or no, not Seth Rogan.
Oh, I know you're saying.
He hosted a show on TV.
Rogan's Heroes. One of the guys.
Anyway, right. In fact, look, I'm just going to go to it now, and then we'll be all back right on the backside.
We'll be right back.
He was able to have year two.
You know, one thing I want to know is I can't tell you how impressed I am, how good Joey Bosa is, and he has the tiniest shoulder pads in the history of the NFL. If he had bigger, like Eric Dickerson shoulder pads, maybe he could be even better.
Well, maybe it's a chicken egg question, because do his shoulder pads just look small, or is he that big that he makes them look small?
I don't know. Whatever. It looks like he's not even – it looks like when players wear just their uniforms for like a shoot, you know, or something, and it's like, oh, no, he just got his jersey tucked in. No, that's what Bosa looks like. It's like he has the tiniest shoulder pads in the world.
Well, I know this. Our equipment guy does a great job making sure every player complies with NFL rules and regulations for their padding. So after that, once that is set, then, hey, whatever they feel comfortable playing in.
John Spanos joining us, AM 570 LA Sports. What's the priority, John? So I've tried to ask you this twice, and you've danced. So now I'm just going to go right back at you one more time. I mean, I'm just being honest with you here. What's the priority? What are you trying to do here during the offseason besides win more games?
Yeah, no. Well, you're always looking to acquire players that are going to fit with your locker room and are going to help you win games. I mean, if you're asking me to prioritize sort of positional needs.
Yes, that's what I'm asking you to do, please.
How about this? Fred, should I show you our draft board? Why don't I have you come in and look at our draft board and you can see how we have them ranked?
Oh, you know what? No.
Wait. Fred, you would win sweeps if you got to draft for the Chargers? Oh, my God. No, this is who we're taking. John, and that's who the Chargers took.
John, it's unnecessary. I don't need to come down there. Just take a picture on your phone and text it to me. And then I can just talk about it right here.
Look, you're new to town. Just play with the local media. I mean, they weren't being too far out of line there, you know. Look, he just asked you to prioritize where you thought you were, what your needs were.
It's crazy. Man, they're doing themselves no services. Guys, you understand. The Rams came to town, and people are like, all right, well, football's coming to L.A., and that's a new thing. And people are like semi-excited about it, even though the weird thing is, I'm telling you guys who aren't in Los Angeles, I know diehard Rams fans that live here in Los Angeles, and they found the Rams were coming. I was like, aren't you excited? Your team's coming? And they're like, eh. And now it's like we have a ton, and because we're so close to San Diego, ton of Los Angeles-based San Diego fans. Some are transplants from there. Some just like the Chargers. But when they found the Chargers were coming out, they're just like even worse than eh. They don't want it. Like people, and I really feel that the Spanos, the whole family, it's out of touch. It's actually worse than what Cleveland did, because Cleveland at least ripped up and they changed the name and they became the Baltimore Ravens and they pretended they were something else, and eventually Cleveland got there.
But at least they were 800, 600 miles away.
Right. What I'm saying is it's like You just you alienated all your diehard San Diego fans. They're not going to – I mean, of course, some people are going to trek up in their Winnebagos and still – you know, they'll play the five-hour thing up to ride up to Carson, and they'll still come because some people just are addicted to
your – Look, on the back of my car, because of my wife, I got a goddamn San Diego Chargers vanity plate around my license plate.
Right.
And she's like, ah. I'm like, honey, Carson's 20 minutes away from our house or right. our place in Torrance. Maybe. I was like, okay. She, like, it pissed her off as a casual Chargers fan.
Right, because it's disloyal. It's like these Bolts ain't loyal is what it is. And now you're going to play in Carson. You're going to play in a 27,000.
32,000.
Whatever. Yeah. So no one's going to – I mean, people aren't really going. You're not going to have some great experience. Like, at the very least, the Rams are playing in the Coliseum, and you could think the Coliseum is sort of a shitty place to maybe watch football, and it's not all the amenities.
It's a legendary place.
But so it's a legendary place that's interesting to go to.
And I went to a soccer game just so I could say I went to the Coliseum.
I saw the Dodgers play the Red Sox in exhibition baseball. I set a Guinness Book World Record for being one of the largest audiences to ever see a baseball game.
Oh, man,
that was exciting. But
I mean, that is where the Dodgers played before they finished.
But see, that's the weird thing. It's like the organization of the Chargers has basically walked out in the middle of a room. They slit their own throat, and now we're watching them bleed out. They're saying, we don't want San Diego. It's like you're not even going to play in the Coliseum. You're going to play out in Carson, and it's like, okay, you're going to come to the LA media, and you're not going to
not even play ball. Like, just answer the question. It's pretty obvious. Just say, you know, we need help defensively. You know, maybe just say, just give a vague, keep it vague, but just answer the.
We think we're really close on certain things. It's like, hey, Phil Rivers could use another weapon or two. We'd love to get that. We need playmakers on both sides of the ball. It's like, come on, man.
Just the snarkiness, though. Like, I love from him. It's like just like your dad treated all the citizens of San Diego County. It was just kind
of one of their players recently said, I'm trying to look it up, because one of the San Diego Chargers was sort of like, well, they're mad, but they'll be back. You know, it's like the loyal San Diego fans are of course pissed, but they're gonna take some little time off, and then they'll come back around. And
I don't
it's
think
sort of
so.
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, maybe.
And then
running back Melvin Gordon believes Charger fans in Seguin will eventually embrace the team following the move to Los Angeles. And it's like, hey, Melvin, I think that's wishful thinking.
Everything they've done is the way they moved up here was bad. Their logo was so bad that I actually had to look up. Was like, is this really the logo?
Oh yeah, that LA got booed by the Clippers fans.
And they've redone the logo now, that so it has more of a bolt across. They extend the A,
whatever
across them. Yeah,
whatever.
But it still looks crap. You know, so it's like you failed there. You're failing with the media. It's this weird thing now. Like
and let me tell you what I don't need another LA hat or a combination. It's like, you know what? By the way, the Dodgers have it on lockdown. They have it on lockdown. The Dodgers, they have the signature hat that says LA.
Which, by the way, today, thanks to our good friends up at Ebbets Flannels, Ebbets.com.
Yeah,
I've got they're sending me a hat from the old 1956. LA Angels from the Pacific Coast League, but it's the blue Dodgers hat, but it's got a red LA on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was like, that hat's sweet. Yeah, pick out a hat you would like. I was like, give me that Angels. Even though I hate the Angels, it still looks like a Dodgers hat. I'll go with that one. You know,
even the thing is like, you know, and the Chargers in themselves, if you guys don't know this, the Chargers in themselves is such a clear copy of the LA Rams. It's like they started in Los Angeles. The Rams, the Chargers isn't
colors,
just,
same. You know.
It's the same colors. It's the same logo on the. It's like the bolt with is like the. It's
similar to the horn wrap. You know, it's
exactly
got the same,
like it. They in fact during the 70s, 80s, they had the exact same. It was the same blue. It was the same mustard gold. They are, and it's also, by the way, the Charger is like a horse because their old logo was they had a running horse,
stallion.
Yeah, and it's a Ram. It's a Charger. You know, and it's like, and then you, it's so lame.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Is that at the point now, everything's so new and fresh. I'm having problems like remembering which guys are which in the team. I'm like, okay, McVay's with the Rams, but
right.
It's the same. Like, I will be slipping up all the time and calling Rams the Chargers the Rams, and back and forth just because of the color scheme. Everything's so fresh and new.
By the way, I was driving on 110. I was driving on 110 heading towards downtown. So you're going right by the Coliseum area and Staples Center.
Right.
And there was
right.
there's two gigantic, the message boards that can change. Sean McVay, head coach of the Los Angeles Rams. They were just sticking there. And I'm like, it's January. And good for them, I guess.
People are just like, immediately like, isn't that the guy that blew up the Oklahoma City building? And they're like, no.
Why did they get
that? Dot, dot, dot. No. That was Timothy.
That's the other McVay. I never thought of that.
That's the rest of the sign. No.
Yeah.
That was Timothy. It was the rest.
Yeah. And so how do you, it's like, I don't understand. The plan,
bad
the
joke,
plan
bad
to
joke.
Me, the plan makes no sense to me, and how they're, and how the owners slash front office of the Chargers are executing the non-bad plan is even worse. It's like, really, guys, you're playing in Carson. God, you shouldn't have moved until the fucking stadium was done, but you had to tell people so the Raiders couldn't come here first, even though the Raiders now are going to go to Vegas.
And just thrive. I think that's an incredible good move.
And
great,
by the way,
the
I will say it again. I will never stop saying this. Everyone who's not in LA County, you guys don't understand. Los Angeles wants the Raiders. They want the Raiders more than they want any other team. They don't want the Rams. They don't want the Raiders. One of the reasons they let the Rams come back first was because the NFL knows that to even get this town 50-50, they had to give the Rams and now the Chargers like this head start. They had to. Because it was like, and the Raiders are going
to
come.
They could have just, I mean, they really had to just set them next to the finish line if you're making the race analogy, because they just have no, like you said, no chance at all to win over anybody.
Right.
Also, real quick before we go to break here, you know what San Diego's doing now? MLS expansion. They're actually building now a stadium. Where the Chargers left.
Right.
A smaller one to accommodate.
I love that. But the funny thing is, I feel like they're building that soccer stadium to entice the Chargers back. Hey, you like playing in soccer stadiums? Soccer stadiums? How about you come back? Hey, by the way, we have 40,000 people. We can put 36,000 people in the stands. Come home, Chargers.
We have 8 executive suites. 8. If you want to rent them out. 8. And look, and that's what I'm saying. Home Depot, just let the city of San Diego come in, buy the naming rights, so it could be like the LA Chargers at the San Diego Center.
Yeah. I want San Diego really to buy the Carson Home Depot naming rights.
Home Depot, just let them lease it for 6 months out of the year. Everyone will have a good laugh about it. You know what? Actually, we got Joe. You want
to
just
let's go to hockey. It's time to go to hockey. We've taken the piss out of the Chargers enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm done even.
Bolts ain't loyal.
Yeah. But so, guys, coming up here, Joe Bartnick, great comic. All over the place, and we've seen him everywhere. And so, when we get back, we'll be.
Let's talk hockey.
That's right. Fuck off. All right, we are back on Sportsologics here. We've got comedian Joe Bartnick, comedian and hockey fan extraordinaire, and the host of the really, really funny, great, very insightful hockey podcast called Puck Off. Be sure and check that out. But Joe, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, John and Mike. What's going on?
No, Eric.
Don't worry about it. It's Eric.
Eric. It's all good. It's all good. We can't. And listeners at home, we've got the audio's kind of messed up here, so there's been some technical difficulties that we're trying to power through. But no, Joe, I wanted to have you on.
Oh, okay.
I bumped into you on Sunset the other night as you were leaving the Comedy Store, where you got caught up here. I hadn't spoken face-to-face in a long time, probably since our basketball battling days back there on Melrose in the Comedy Basketball League, which, by the way, listeners, Joe Bartnick is a force to be reckoned with at the power forward position.
Well, I can't stop once I get moving.
It's all about the momentum.
And I don't move. So you think you can go around me, but you can't go through me because I don't move. So.
Oh, you can't move it. I mean, that's a lot. Now, do you get out on the skates as well? Like, how are you out on the ice?
On the ice, I am like I am when playing basketball. I don't move very well, but I do have sweet hands.
It's all about the finesse, right? Well,
I can put the puck in the net, but I can't get from A to B too fast.
Well, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in a hockey town? I know, move out to LA, we're all from different areas. Hockey wasn't really necessarily something I grew up around. So I'm always curious to see where people are from when they're diehard hockey fans like yourself.
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was actually a hockey fan because my grandfather was a huge fan before Mario Lemieux came to town. And we always played street hockey with an orange ball. And that's why I have sweet hands. But there was only about two rinks within, I'd say, about 45 miles around the city. But then Mario came to town, and the town just became super, super hockey crazy. And now, like, every town, every suburb has its own rink that holds, like, 1,000 people, and it's just hockey crazy now in Pittsburgh. So
Why is it in Pittsburgh that you guys have three different major sports franchises, but you only have one set of colors for every team? It's just black, gold, and white. You're black, gold, and white.
It's convenient.
Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins. Just black, gold, and white. Very simple.
Well, I don't know about – I mean, the Steelers have just been black and gold forever.
Right.
So they might have taken it from the Pirates, because the Pirates, like, started, you know, during the Civil War.
Right.
Now the Penguins and the Steelers started, you know, like in the 30s. The Penguins were actually the original NHL team, the Pirates. They started like in 1918, but didn't make it through the Depression and World War II, which only six teams did, which is why there was the original six. They were originally black and gold, but we're really so it's kind of the Penguins' way of saying, "Hey, we can be black and gold." But the reality was the Bruins were already black and gold. We were like a light shade of blue. But the Steelers were just so dominant that they're like, hey, we want to be like the Steelers. So they changed the colors to black and gold, which completely irks a lot of Boston Bruins fans.
It does. As a Bruins fan, I am irked. But I am amazed. I didn't know that thing about the Pirates team. That's a great thing to know. Thanks, Joe.
I had no idea about that. And that explains now the baby blue Penguins throwback jerseys I've seen around town. I think I've caught. Did you? I know Steve Byrne is from Pittsburgh too. Hockey guy. Did you guys ever play against each other back in Pittsburgh at all?
No, but we played many times in the comedy league pickup game. And Steve Byrne is so much. Steve Byrne is Paul Coffey, and I'm an AHL. I'm like, you know, I'm terrible. Steve Byrne beat me out of the corner so bad one time that I fell so hard they stopped the game to see if I was okay.
Oh, man. I mean, that's what makes hockey so difficult. It's like there's so many skill sets you're trying to develop there on your skates, your balance, your shot, your puck handling.
Never mind, they say you have to go get it in the corner, and there are no corners in a hockey rink. See, that's one of the other things. It's like there are no corners. It's all an oval.
No, everything is in bounds. That's why you're going to get hit. I think that, you know, like when players stand in front of the goaltender to try to tip in the puck on a slap shot, and the guy's taking like an 85 to 100 mile an hour slap shot, it's the equivalency of trying to hit a baseball, but trying just to like tap it past the catcher into a net, all the while you're on ice skates, all the while someone's trying to crack you in the spine with a stick. So, you know,
yeah, there's a lot going on there.
That's why, to me, it's so just intriguing, and I just love the sport. It's like the one sport that I can never see myself doing. I mean, every other sport, it's like, oh, well, if I took a million shots, you know, I could have been a basketball player. If I did this, or if I took steroids, I could have done this. Hockey's like, no, you can see a live NHL game like, no, that's a whole different thing there.
That's true.
Magic.
The speed. I mean, what's really most impressive is the amount of pain those guys can play through. I mean, it's just, 18 stitches. Yeah, I'll be back in on the next line, coach, if you need me. You know, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. There was a guy on the Dallas Star 2 years ago. His name's escaping me right now. He had a cardiac arrest on the bench. Went between periods, got defibrillated. As he woke up, he wanted to go back and play the third period. And they were like, no.
You're like, and that's when Mike Modano finally
retired. He was an old Boston Bruin, too. I can't think of his name right now.
Is it the little ball of hate? Was it, you know, that's interesting. It's like hockey players, it's like they're all Ronnie Lott's. Like the story about Ronnie Lott cutting off the end of his finger. It's like
in hockey,
they're all Ronnie Lott's. They have to hide your helmet to keep you off the ice. So, Joe, tell us.
Yeah, hockey is the only sport where you know those guys would play for free.
Absolutely. So tell us about, you got to go to the All-Star game. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it was just, I how could you miss it? I actually turned down two gigs. I actually canceled two gigs in New Jersey when I found out the All-Star weekend of the year. I'm like, how am I going to be in New Jersey when the All-Star game is in Los Angeles? So, yeah, I went to the game. I'm as slack to my comedy career as I am in my faux hockey reporting career, so I didn't get my press pass in time. So I just bought tickets and went. It was amazing.
Oh, that's
good. What was really amazing was it was a 100-year anniversary, so they had the seemingly, or with a bunch of writers in Toronto with their head up their can, figured were the 100 best hockey players of all time, and The ones that were living were all there.
Oh,
so it
wow.
was amazing to see you know, all in the same ice standing around was, you know, Mario and Bobby Orr and Gretzky and Trottier and just everybody, you know, Francis, Messier, Paul Coffey, Yzerman. It was everybody.
Oh, that's
literally everybody
awesome.
You could think of.
That's awesome.
And I wanted to ask you now to move into your show Puck Off. What's that a typical episode of that breakdown? Do you specialize in players or certain teams or anything like that, or is it just an overall kind of international coverage of the sport?
Yeah, obviously we talked because my co-host Fraser Smith, he's a big Red Wing fan, and we both have the Kings as our mistress team because we live here. So we do a lot of Penguins, and we do a lot of Red Wings, and we do a lot of Kings. Basically, the teams that are doing good, we talk about because they're doing good and it's fun. And teams that are no good, we kind of lay low unless they do something dramatically stupid like fire their coach, like Gerard Gallant in Florida, or like Jack Capuano for the Islanders. But, you know, we usually have an interview, usually a comic friend of ours or actually like New York Times writer or a former NHL player. And then we have the awards. We do awards. We have like Goon of the Week and Skirt of the Week Dirtbag of the Week.
That's
and we got some music intros. And we're at about an hour, sometimes a little longer. And it's just talking hockey, which I would do for free. So
yeah,
why not do it on a podcast?
That's kind of how our show started. We were out back at the Comedy Store night after night after night talking sports, and then we're like, hey, you know what, let's just put this down on tape and then just call it a show. And then 5 years later, here we are. And Joe,
exactly.
Joe, where can the listener find Puck Off? What's the easiest way to go? Just iTunes? Or
yeah, it's iTunes. If you're like one of those anti-Apple people, you can do SoundCloud or Stitcher or there's another one too. I can't think of it. But we're everywhere the good podcasts are.
Nice, nice.
Listen to.
And also, listeners, Joe is a very, very funny comedian. He's been on the road all over the country, worked with some of the biggest and best comedians around.
Unless he's canceling for a hockey game.
Yeah, unless he's canceling for a hockey game.
That was me headlining a couple gigs in North Jersey. No, if I was, I tour with Bill Burr a lot. So when I'm with Bill, the money's too good. I don't cancel those gigs. I watch the game on TV.
Now they did something weird this year. Now, did you guys like the All-Star game was done? They scored by quarters, so there were actually technically three different final scores. Am I crazy for thinking that, or I heard that
and
wrong?
And it's 3-on-3. Also, is that right?
What happened?
What they did was they took, because the All-Star games, like any All-Star game, you know, no one wants to be there,
right?
And it turns into a boring game, but. Actually, the game this year was a lot less competitive than last year for some reason. It was still enjoyable. But what they do is they have the four divisions are split up. So each division plays, like the Metro plays the Atlantic, and then the Pacific plays the Central in a 3-on-3 for 20 minutes.
Interesting.
And then the winner of those two games plays in the final game. So it's 60 minutes of hockey divided by three 20-minute games, each game divided by 10-minute period.
Oh, wow.
Did you like it? It sounds like you didn't really go for it that much.
No, I really liked it. I mean, I think it's what you have to do. I just think, because, you know, what's funny is, like, I think last year they played harder the whole way. This way, they seem to play, like, as the game got a little bit toward the end of the minute, you know, like down the stretch, then they started playing more competitively. The fact that Wayne Gretzky actually had a goal challenge as a coach, and it wasn't a challenge. So, the Gretzky was actually being booed in L.A. because it was the Metro versus the Pacific, and most of the fans there were cheering for the Pacific. So he actually had a coach's challenge, so that made it interesting. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, could they have maybe played a little bit harder? But, you know, no one wants to get hurt.
No.
I mean, Jeremy Roenick threw the last check in an All-Star game like 20 years ago.
Oh yeah,
that's hilarious. Well, there was that mini one that was on Bieber this weekend. Did you catch that one? Hold on one second. There we go.
Yeah, you can't take the fries out of Pronger. We're just having a little technical difficulty.
Sorry, yeah, we lost you there for a second. Got you back. There we go. That was my bad. I pulled the cord.
Yeah.
Out.
Well, I mean, leave it to a former Flyer to beat up a little girl.
Well, Joe, thanks again for coming on and just giving us a few minutes of your time. Listeners, again, that's Puck Off, PUCKOFF. You can find it on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and all those things.
SoundCloud. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other one's TuneIn, I think.
TuneIn. And also, Joe's. Yeah. As mentioned, all over the country, sometimes with Bill Burr, sometimes flying solo, but he's everywhere. So by all means, Google the man, look him up, and go see him whenever he's in your town. You'll definitely have a good time.
Right on. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll do it again here in a couple months once the playoffs get going.
Yeah, we need someone to explain hockey to us.
Yes, please.
Hey, you know, if you guys just want to call me, I'll always give you like 10, 15 minutes anytime you want to talk hockey for your podcast.
Dude, I will. No, it's also one of those things like, you know, when the strike happened and the Cup stayed in Tampa Bay that year, I was a big Bruins fan. Like, I love Kenny Lindsman. I love the old, you know, it's like, but there's a point where I had to let him go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you know, when the Bruins won in 11, I'm happy for my cousins who really root for the Bruins, but I would never really take that as like my team anymore. Like, I left the Bruins behind. And so I'm glad that you're somebody who still just loves the game and will explain it to us.
Plus a comedian too. It just makes the interviews a lot better. You know, when you got personalities on with us. But again, listener, that's Puck Off. Go check it out. And Joe, keep up the good work, man. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe, you're the man. Guys, puck
off. Puck
off.
With a P, people. With a P.
I'm trying to get into hockey. I, in the Kansas City, you got nothing. You got the Blades growing up, and, you know, they had the Kansas City Scouts back in the 70s before they moved, you know, to Colorado, and then were in Colorado briefly as the Rockies, and then eventually then moved to New Jersey to become the New Jersey Devil, which is apparently a real ghost or spirit that roams the woods in New Jersey.
Sure, the Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil is in fact a thing, or allegedly a thing. So, guys, check it out. Puck Off with Joe Bartnick. And as mentioned, you know, he's around the country, so definitely go check that out.
He is hilarious.
Go check that out as well. Real quick, though, before we let you get into your Patriots here, just wanted to drop a few things. If you're in San Diego, Southern California, in that La Jolla Pacific Beach area, by all means, go to Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street, Kitty Corner or Catty Corner from the world-famous comedy store.
Don Carlos.
Down in La Jolla. Just say, what's up, Don? Ask for Don Carlos. He's a big, funny, awesome dude.
Yep.
He brought in,
he's a burrito himself. He's a burrito of fun.
So many jackets he pulled in for the homeless down there, Chargers jackets with his burrito jacket giveaway. You could probably still sneak one in if you just take it in there because he's just that good of a dude.
Still sneak one in.
Yeah, he'll be like, yeah, I'll take your jacket. He'd be excited if you showed up with the jacket.
Yeah, he's still doing the absolutely.
And then Union Press KC, if you need some shirts printed up, they can design them for you. They got a bunch of good deals always going. That's Union Press, letters KC.com. Also, if you're in Springfield, Missouri, I will be headlining at the Blue Room. Let me make sure I get the dates. I think it's March 17th and 18th, St. Patrick's Day, and then the following
that's great.
Saturday. And then
I love that you're playing the Blue Room. It sounds like you're a jazz.
I know, right? And then March, 16th, a Thursday, I'll be Avenue HQ, which is kind of a Blue Room sounding bluesy. I'll be at the Avenue HQ.
No, that sounds like the Broadway show, Avenue Q. That's a different thing.
In Jefferson City, Missouri, state capital there on...
That's the capital, Missouri?
Jefferson City.
Yeah.
Which might soon become its own state now. The state of Jefferson finally could pop through if California succeeds and they want a second state within the country of California, then they allow Jefferson. Because you know the story behind Jefferson?
No.
So on Pearl Harbor, the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor.
Allegedly.
December 7th, 1940.
December 7th, 1941.
Well, at that time, Northern California and Southern Oregon were in the process of seceding from both those states and creating their own, like, kind of more of an agricultural state called the state of Jefferson.
Right.
And the only reason that that really didn't move forward was because of the attack on Pearl Harbor.
It's not the only reason, but there are lots of these wannabe sort of states.
Yes.
I believe that is
the most recent, because that would have taken like the that Mount Shasta all the way up to like Ashland, you know, that nice pretty much where the majority of California gets their naturally grown drugs from. That whole area would have all been the state of Jefferson. But I don't even
where were we talking about?
Yeah, I was like, I completely lost train of thought.
We're just in a ramble now. Oh, you're doing all the plugs.
Right. Okay, yeah. Because I keep thinking Patriots. Because I
don't listeners worry, we're gonna get to the
listeners at home, I brought in a Monster Gronk edition energy drink.
This next segment brought to you by Gronkowski Monster.
But yeah, by all means, that's probably the reason I lost. But yeah, go to johnjonishere.com. Got the dates for that. But if you got friends down there, let them know. And then starting this week, I'm doing a video Royals review show. And if you want, just tag questions on Sportsaholics or go to our Facebook page. And for all you listeners that are now listening through the link on the Facebook page, thanks for following and, you know, just clicking the link down the ladder until you found the show. We've gotten this past week over 10,000 views on some of our videos
that are up there. Thank you, guys.
All the new listeners, all the new likers, thank you so much. And, yeah. It's with that being said, the mic now goes over to Eric. So,
hey, guys, if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area on Super Bowl Sunday, well, that night at the Belly Room of the world-famous Comedy Store, I will be hosting, as usual, the Show Up Go Up open mic variety show. We have three shows this month, the first three Sundays of the month. We take the last Sunday of the month off, as we did this past Sunday. And this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, should the Patriots prevail and win number 5 for Mr. Belichick and Mr. Brady, your good friend and sportsaholic, Eric Marino, will shave his head on stage of the world-famous Comedy Store Belly Room as part of the Show Up Go Up, as I did 2 years ago, because we beat the Seahawks.
Nice, and I'll have to drive down to see that. I got to document that with the camera, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. We have video of it. We have video of it 2 years. There's some videos of it. And I'll tell you, and I'll do all my long hair jokes, all the long hair jokes, the tuck and go.
Retire them.
You just retire. You have to retire them for about 10 months, and then it grows again. Because, by the way, guys, if you don't know, one of the only ways to tell time in Los Angeles is the length of Marino's hair. You could say, like, oh, man, Marino, I've been around for, like, 3 head shavings now. It's like, you know,
that's about a decade.
Yeah. That's about 5 years.
If you've known Eric 3 different times in his life with a shaved head,
5 to 7 years.
Yeah, 5 to 7 years is really where you go.
That's a full, you've been around for a full Marino from head shaved to long hair.
Oh, that's good. So are you shaving your head again? Are you positive? You feel pretty good about having to shave your head?
I feel really good. I think it's going to be a battle. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, look, it's an any given Sunday. I don't feel rudely overconfident. I mean, okay. I really want it. It's like, because it's also one of those things where...
Yeah, because you don't want to be that person either. It's like, there's
I'm not
always...
trying to be a dick about it. I enjoy the Falcons. I mean, I enjoy Falcon fans. We have a very interesting – in fact, we'll have to get Jason Tebow on, who also works for the NFL Red Zone, because one of the interesting things is he, of all things, he happens to be a diehard Chicago Cub fan and a diehard Atlanta Falcon fan. So he's having a year. You know what I'm saying?
I just put that together. You're absolutely right.
Like, that's having a year. Like, that's not, and that, by the way, not a most, that's not a very usual combination.
There
that's
is not many people out there
right, that have that check those two boxes.
And he's such a, like, he's a Cubs fan in the sense that the first time and a few times since then, I greet him with, hey, how's it going, world champion hug.
Right.
Is typically the way you greet Tebow right now as a Cubs fan.
Right.
This is how much he is.
Now, I will also say that the a Falcon fan that we're that friends with the show, Jerron Horton, a Comedy Store comic, he told me from the outset of the playoffs, he really was feeling it, that he was like, we're going. So I give it up for him for called his shot. I think it's one of those things that the Green Bay Packers kind of knock the Dallas Cowboys. You know, this is what happens. Remember, the Seahawks, the Seattle SuperSonics were the number one seed, and then the Dikembe Mutombo Nuggets knocked them out, and that took a year. You know, that's one of the years that they're out of the circulation. You know, like, these are the things that, you know, for the want of a nail, the whole kingdom falls. So this is an interesting. Like, I always felt like the Steelers. The Patriots have beaten the Steelers now in three different AFC championships to go to the Super Bowl, which is fun for me. The interesting thing also is the years that the Steelers advanced and won Super Bowls were years that either, like, I think it was Denver or the Ravens had, or the Jets maybe, had bumped the Patriots got bumped out early. You know what I mean? They had, like, the Cowboys did this year.
The Steelers got the easier road.
So it's right. So you avoided something. You know, yes, it's like, and remember, the Falcons weren't going to have a home game. And I do think there's that. I do think that Aaron Rodgers was that, for the love of the game, Kevin Costner, Billy Chappell, that turned the clock back for one more day. And because those Cowboys are coming, man. Those Dallas Cowboys and Matt Ryan and the Falcons, I believe they're coming too. But I'll say this. You know, my quarterback's 39 years old, and then one of the best things is he's in his seventh Super Bowl, which is wonderful. But should he win, no one is talking about him pulling an Elway or pulling a Peyton Manning and retiring. I mean, we've gone to six consecutive AFC championships, and going into next year, we are very viable to go to number seven consecutively, and I am down with that, homie. Although I also have said, should the Patriots win, I am going to retire as a full-time fan, and now become, I'm going to do some fan consulting work. I will.
Do you pick up in the postseason only at that point, or do you kind of like, because look, even as a retirement, if someone was like, "Hey, you're a bandwagoner," you'd be like, "Okay, technically, if you want to say, yeah, I'm jumping on for the postseason run, sure, but let me just show you my resume, and then you decide if you think I'm a bandwagon fan or not." But that's an interesting, just.
My dad and I had to talk about it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to play at this level all the time.
We touched on it briefly last week, but it's like, I just don't even know as a fan if I'd want to reach that level. I mean, to win, it just takes the fun out of it in the sense that, look, as a Royals fan right now, I know that, look, it's a probably 20% chance the Royals make the wild card this year, if that. But if we get in there, that's great. But then, you know, I mean, the Duffy signing for next to nothing helps for a couple of years, but it's going to get lean again. Hopefully not, but I'm not saying, oh, we're going to win the World Series this year or next year. It's going to take another couple prospects to flourish. And I think bringing a free agent in now to Kansas City is somewhat more realistic than it used to be. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. Meeting, you know, going down, find out who the young talent is, and like,
sure,
you know, it's like, so that way, if the 20% comes through, it's like that's a great year.
Whereas baseball,
you've got a 95% chance of making the playoffs,
sure,
for the next forever, you know.
Well,
it seems
I'll say this, like, keeping it in baseball, like the Red Sox. Now, the Red Sox, we've won three titles this century, which is great. But it's and also, like, hey, we just got Chris Sale, like, you know, we just the Red Sox just added, and people are like, hey, the Red Sox. And I'll be honest with you. Like, around 2000, 2001, guys, I had a sickness. I mean, this show is called Sportsaholics for a reason. I have an obsession. I could literally, in 2000, I could probably still to this day, if you called out a member of the Red Sox, I would show you their batting stance. I knew every batting stance. I didn't know just the 25-man roster and the left-handed specialist. I'm telling you, I knew the 40-man roster deep. I knew when they had to designate Eckstein for assignment and he went to the Angels, I knew who that was. I knew. And I was like, ah, shit, we're going to let go of Eckstein. I mean, when you know about minor league prospects and you're just deep in the system, and I'm just saying this, guys, you won. I won three. I was like, and it was like, in some ways, like, you know, I love the Red Sox, and when I watch a game, I get all in, but there'll be parts of, like, I'm going to slow roll it. I'm going to let the team grow on me. I'm going to let it see how it happens. I'm not just, and I'm not, you know, I'm not World Series or die. Like it is, it's, hey man, you know, it's another example. All Boston Celtic fans, I think Boston Celtic fans, at least of my age, who got to see like the Larry Bird and the three titles, in some ways, we know how good the Boston Celtics as a franchise are right now, and we know they're not true contenders. And so in that way, you shift down. Like, we're not in fifth gear as fans. We're like back in third. We're ready to make a move, but we know it's, you know, unless they go on a mad playoff rush or they
no
get
sleep is being lost. It's like anything right. above this is
right. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win a first, second round series. Maybe I could.
But there were
the
years
Cavs.
As a Royals right. fan, if we were 500 leaving April,
right.
that was the equivalent right. of winning the goddamn World Series in sure. 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. You know, and it was really all we were hoping for was, hey, maybe the games in May will count for something this year. Like
sure.
maybe, God forbid, the games in June actually matter. Could
and
you
I can't
imagine?
Tell you how many like Red Sox great Aprils we got off to, how many disastrous Aprils we got, and they all mattered. And then, you know, Nomar's wrist would explode, or, you know, like somebody would be out for 6 months. And there's a certain point where you're like, okay, I need to relax it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Big Poppy's gone. You know, I don't know how much Pablo Sandoval, the panda. I don't know how much I gotta jump into that. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like, and I'd be very happy. I want Tom Brady to win number 5 because that's the shut up ring. That is just the yeah. ultimate shut up ring. And then, you know, if I can win that, and then I don't have to go. You don't have to go crazy. It's not about 6-7. I just want to watch great football. I want to watch my team do great things.
Well, I think. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be, I'm going to say Patriots win 27. No, hold on. Patriots win 32-28 is what
wow,
I'm saying.
Wow, and that's also, like, the Patriots have never, it's always 4-point games with the Patriots. Like all six of them, I mean, all six of the Belichick-Brady Super Bowls
yeah.
have been very, very close.
So I do think you guys will win, and you want to throw any predictions before we get out of here?
Patriots win. I just want, I am not.
Nice. All right, guys, so listen. After the Patriots win this Sunday, if you want to see Eric shave his head, show up, go up to the Comedy Store, 8433 Sunset Boulevard, go around the belly room, bring your ID, 21 and over, 2-drink minimum. If you're in Springfield, Missouri, Blue Room, go check me out, Jefferson City, Missouri,